ಗಿರಿವರ ಧಾರಿ ಜಯ ಗೋಪೀ ಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರ ಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಭಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಭಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರಾವನ ಚಾರಿ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರಾವನ ಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರಾವನ ಚಾರಿ ಜಯೋ ರಾಧ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯೋ ರಾಧ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ
ಜಯ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವರಾಗಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಸರ್ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಇಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಎಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶಿಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ ಕಿ ಇಸ್ಕಾನ್ ಸಂಸ್ಥಾಪಕ ಆಚಾರ್ಯ ಬಿಬಿಟಿ ಸಂಸ್ಥಾಪಕ ಆಚಾರ್ಯ ಶಿಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ ಕಿ ಜಯ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವರಾಗಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಸರ್ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಇಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಶಿಲ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಠಾಕೂರ್ ಶಿಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ ಕಿ ನಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ ಕಿ ಪ್ರೇಮ್ ಚಕೋ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ್ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರವ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಕಿ ಅನಂತಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದ ಕಿ ಗಂತರಾಜ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕಿ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರಾಂಗ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Seeking blessings from all the Vaishnavas, whatever good you hear is the blessings of my Guru and my seniors. If you see any fault, kindly feel free to correct me. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 10, Text 27.
सचिरं मयया विष्णु ब्रह्मिति कर्षितो वृषम् शिववाग अमृतद्वस्ता क्लेशपुञ्जस्तमब्रवीत् सचिरं मयया विष्णु भ्रामिताकर्षितो वृषम् शिववाग अमृतान्वस्ता क्लेशपुञ्जस्तमब्रवीत् सचिरं मयया विष्णो भ्रामिताकर्षितो वृषम् शिववाग अमृतान्वस्ता क्लेशपुञ्जस्तमब्रवीत्। तं कर्षितो वृषम् शिववाग अमृतान्वस्ता क्लेशपुञ्जस्तमब्रवीत् साचिरं मयया विष्णुर् भ्रामिताकर्षितो वृषम् शिववागमृताद्विष्टा क्लेशपुञ्जस्तमब्रवीत् साचिरं मयया विष्णुर् भ्रामिताकर्षितो वृषम् शिववागामृतद्वस्ता क्लेशपुञ्जस्तमब्रवीत्।
माताजी
सचिरं मयया विष्णोर् भ्रामिताकर्षितो वृषम् शिववाग अमृताद्वस्ता क्लेशपुञ्जस्तमब्रवीत्।
वट् टु वर्ड् मीनिङ्ग् सः हि चिरं फार् अ लाङ्ग् टैम् मायया बै द इल्यूजरी एनर्जी विष्णो आफ् द सुप्रीम् पर्सनालिटि आफ् गाड् हेड् विष्णु भ्रमिता मेड् टु वाण्डर् Karshita, exhausted. Brisham, extremely. Shiva, of Lord Shiva. Vak Amrita, by the words of nectar. Dvasta, destroyed. Klesha Punja, the heaps of suffering. Tam, to him. Abravit, spoke. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: Markandeya, having been forced by Lord Vishnu's illusory energy to wander about for a long time in the water of dissolution, had become extremely exhausted. But Lord Shiva's words of nectar vanquished his accumulated suffering. Thus he addressed Lord Shiva. Purport: Markandeya Rishi had desired to see Lord Vishnu's illusory energy and had suffered extensive miseries. But now in the person of Shiva, Lord Vishnu again appeared before the sage and relieved all his suffering by imparting blissful spiritual instructions.
ओमज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कान्त श्रीराधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी श्रीराधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभानुसुते देवि प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये नमा ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna. So we have been discussing the beautiful pastimes of Rishi Markandeya, and it will be very appropriate to know the birth of Markandeya Rishi also. So actually the parents of Markandeya Rishi, they were not having a child for a very long time. So they desired intensely to have a son. So they started to meditate on the banks of near the Himalayas, and first of all they meditated on the Devi Swarup, the Jagadamba Lord, the goddess Jagadamba, and she appeared in front of them after their intense penance. But she told them that you don't have a child in your bhagya. So if you want a child, you should worship, you should please Lord Shiva. So then both the parents, they went and they meditated on Lord Shiva near the Kashi Vishwanath area. And Lord Kashi Vishwanath was pleased and he appeared before them. And he said that you don't have child in your bhagya. So the parents started saying that you are one of the creators of the universe and your power can overrule. So Lord Shiva was pleased and he said that I give you a benediction that you will have a son, but you have to make a choice that you will have a son with a very less lifespan, but he will be very intelligent. Or you will have a son which will have a very long life, but he will not be that intelligent. He will be like something like a dull person. So the parents thought that it is better to have an intelligent son. So then they said that we are okay to have a son with a small lifespan, but he should be intelligent. So then Lord Shiva blessed them and Markandeya Rishi was born. So his lifespan was only 12 years initially when Lord Shiva had given him. So after when he was around 8 to 9 years, before that the parents used to invite all the sages to their hermitage, to their ashram, and make Markandeya serve them, and in turn the sages would bless him dirghayu that way. So they started accumulating all these blessings from all the different sages, and thinking that the blessings of the sages will definitely increase his lifespan. But when he became 8 years old, the parents started becoming little tensed that now only 4 years are left. So Rishi Markandeya, when he was a small boy, he started looking at the parents' behavior, and he came to know that something is disturbing them. So then he forced them to tell. So they had to say that your lifespan is only 12 years and only 3-4 years are left, so we are worried. So he said, don't worry parents, the way we all were not supposed to have a child, but by Lord Shiva's grace you got a child. Similarly, by Shiva's grace I will have a long life. So then he went to the Gomti Godavari Ghat, which is near Varanasi, and all the parents and the son, they made a Shivalinga with the sand there, and they started meditating and performing austerities and pleasing Lord Shiva. So when the 12 years were over, Yamaraj sent his Yamadutas to get Markandeya Rishi. So when they reached there, they saw that there is lot of effulgence coming out from the boy's body. So the Rishi, the Yamadutas were very confused. How can we touch him? So they went back and told Yamaraj that we can't get him. So he said, why? He said, there is a lot of effulgence coming out from his body, and it is not possible for us to get him. So he said, okay, then I will personally come. So then Yamaraj personally came, and when he saw the boy, he was also amazed that his lifespan is only 12 years, but he's so effulgent. And Markandeya Rishi also sees Yamaraj there, and he's afraid, because he's a small boy, he's afraid. But he had lot of faith in Lord Shiva. So he immediately embraces that Shivalinga which they had made, and he starts praying to Lord Shiva, please protect me, please protect me. And here Yamaraj was just about to put his noose around him, and Lord Shiva, the Shivalinga breaks open, and Lord Shiva comes out. And Lord Shiva says that I have given him Dirghayu, so now you can't touch him. So he is under my care, because his birth was also under my directions and through me. So his death also will be through me, so you don't have any say in this. So Yamaraj folded his hands and went back. So that is how Markandeya Rishi got a very long life. And very pleased, Lord Shiva asked Markandeya Rishi to ask for a boon. So he said that, I want you to reside here eternally in your form as a Shivalinga. And whoever does not have any children and who desires to have a child, they can come here and worship you, and you can bless them to have a child. So that Markandeshwar Mahadev is there 30 kilometers from Varanasi on the Gomti Godavari Ghat. So even now we can go and take darshan. So this is the related to the birth of Markandeya Rishi. Now coming to the verse, if you see the previous verse is also where Lord Shiva and Uma, they are glorifying Lord Markandeya Rishi because of his intense penance and his faith in Lord Krishna. So there is a similar episode where Lord Shiva and Parvati are sitting in an assembly of sages, and Chitraketu Maharaj happens to go from there in the sixth canto. And due to the arrangement of the Lord's desire, Parvati curses Chitraketu Maharaj. But the response of Chitraketu Maharaj is so pleasing that Lord Shiva starts glorifying the Vaishnavas. Lord Shiva himself is the supreme Vaishnava, but he likes to glorify the devotees of Lord Vishnu. So just to take some few points from that sixth canto, verse 27 to 25, Lord Shiva is telling Parvati how the servants of Lord Narayan are. Lord Shiva said, my dear beautiful Parvati, have you seen the greatness of the Vaishnavas? Being servant of the servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, they are great souls and are not interested in any kind of material happiness. Devotees solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan never fear any condition of life. For them the heavenly planets, liberation and hellish planets are all the same. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. Since Parvati ji had cursed Chitraketu Maharaj to become a demon, so Lord Shiva is referring that they are not at all worried about where they are living, whether in hellish planets or in heavenly planets. This magnanimous Chitraketu is a dear devotee of the Lord. He is equal to all living entities and is free from attachment and hatred. Similarly, I am also very dear to Lord Narayan. Therefore, no one should be astonished to see the activities of the most exalted devotees of Narayan, for they are free from the attachment and envy. They are always peaceful and they are equal to everyone. So based on these three points which we discussed, we will try to see the qualities of the Vaishnavas. Now, even the worst sinners and social outcasts are purified just by hearing or seeing personalities like you. Imagine then how purified they become by directly speaking with you. Lord Shiva is telling Markandeya Rishi in two verses before that even the worst sinners and social outcasts are purified just by hearing about or seeing personalities like you. So how much, what is the value or what is a pure devotee exactly? Darshana pavitra karo he tumaro gun. That is the quality of a pure devotee. The pure devotee does not consider himself as a great devotee, but the Lord empowers that devotee in such a way that just by seeing him, just by hearing about him, talking about him, spending time with him, the person or the people who are associated with him get purified. There are 26 qualities of a pure devotee which everybody would be knowing. Few of them, like very peaceful, they are very kind to all entities, even enemies, truthful, fearless, not hankering for possessions, etc. So, a pure devotee is actually a person who gives the praman of the existence of the Lord. There are many times people ask, ki aapke paas kuch praman hai kya? Do you have any proof that God exists? Do you have any proof? Have you seen God? So the answer is yes, God exists, and the proof is the pure devotees. Because the Lord interacts with these pure devotees, his close associates, in such a loving and relishing way that even the common people who just hear about them, they can really feel the presence of the Lord. And these devotees, they don't go and project or propagate about their meeting the Lord or the Lord coming to them. They live a normal life which everybody lives, but their consciousness is totally fixed in the Lord. 24 hours a day they are just focused on pleasing the Lord and his devotees, and their compassionate nature which makes them more and more glorious. So based on this points, we'll be taking three personalities. We'll be going through the life, discussing some aspects of life of three personalities whose impact was so strong or so powerful that they really made a big difference in the community at large. By discussing the three personalities, we don't want to undermine the vast ocean of the Vaishnavas, but for our discussions we have taken only three such personalities. The first one is the theme is Shuddha Bhakta Charana Renu. The dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotees of the Lord are so powerful that they can liberate even a Brahma Rakshasa. So a beautiful pastime comes in the life of the great Acharya Ramanuja. When Srila Ramanujacharya was a small boy, he was very intelligent, and he had taken admission in a Mayavad school, and he was studying under the teacher named Yadav Prakash. Now this Yadav Prakash was actually a very puffed up personality. He was thinking himself, he had no end to his ego. And when Ramanujacharya started serving him, he could make out that Ramanujacharya is a very special personality. So whenever there were shlokas which describe about the beauty of the Lord, this Yadav Prakash used to give a very, very untoward meaning of describing the Lord's beauty, which really made Ramanuja very disturbed. But still, since he was a student, he used to correct his teacher, And the way he corrected, Yadav Prakash was fearing that this boy, when he becomes a big personality, it is fear for my prestige. So he was planning to even murder him when he was in the school. But somehow by the Lord's arrangement, he got saved. So days were going like this, and one day the king of the region, his daughter, the princess, was a Brahma Rakshasa overtook her. A Brahma Rakshasa entered the body of this princess, and she was really creating a lot of havoc. And the king was very disturbed, so he started calling all the tantriks, the yogis, everybody, to come, somebody to just come and relieve the princess of this misery. So the king tried everything, but nothing was happening. So somebody advised him that, why don't you call this Yadav Prakash? He is a very big personality and a very big acharya. A lot of students are learning under him. Maybe he will be able to help. So the king sent a messenger to Yadav Prakash that you come and please relieve the princess of the Brahma Rakshasa. So Yadav Prakash, such a puffed up personality, he started boasting from there that, I don't have to come there. Just by sitting here, if I tell the Brahma Rakshasa to go, he will go. So he started saying there, oh Brahma Rakshasa, I Yadav Prakash am pronouncing that you please leave the princess. Hearing this, the Brahma Rakshasa became more aggressive and he started creating more havoc. And the king started, told him that this is not working at all. So he said, okay, then I will personally come. And he came like a very, puffed up person, like how generally a proud person walks. And he started chanting, Brahmanical shlokas and stotras and all. And the Brahma Rakshasa started laughing. He said that, I am a Brahma Rakshasa and I know all the verses or mantras which you are chanting, because I was a Brahman in my last life. So all these mantras are not going to have any impact on me. So you please don't do all this. And he said that, I want to reveal you something which will also make you realize that what I was in my last life and what you were in your last life. So he said that in the last life you were a lizard and you were crawling near the banks of one of the ghats, and some pure Vaishnavas, they came and dropped some droplets of their Mahaprasad and some water which they drank, and you went and ate that Mahaprasad. That is why you got a body of a Brahmana in this life. But I was a Brahmana born in a Brahmana family, but I committed some offenses throughout my life because of which I became a Brahma Rakshasa. So all these verses are not going to have any impact on me. So you please don't chant. Please go away from here. So he was like, everybody was listening, and this was a big insult for him in front of all. So then the people gathered there, one of the personality, they asked the Brahma Rakshasa, then how will you leave him? How will you leave the princess? Please give us some hint how you will leave. He said that, I will go even if a pure Vaishnava keeps his foot or gives his lotus feet, puts his head on my head, means on the princess's head. So now they were thinking Yadav Prakash to be a very pure devotee, but he was like shattered very badly. So he said, whom do you think is the pure personality who can do this? He said, there is a small boy in the Gurukula of Yadav Prakash and his name is Ramanuja. If he comes and puts his feet on my head, I will go away from here. So then Yadav Prakash was again very, very much hurt that Ramanuja already is a big competitor, and now in public he has said that Ramanuja is a pure devotee. So Ramanuja was called, and he very humbly comes and he stands in front of that princess and speaks to the Brahma Rakshasa. He says that, since you are saying that I have to put the feet on my head, on the head of the princess, I will do it. But what is the proof that you have left her? He says that, while going, I will break the branch of this tree. It will crack and it will fall down. That will be the proof that I have left the princess. So Ramanujacharya comes and puts his feet on the head of the princess, and immediately there is a sound on the branch and the branch falls off. And the princess comes out as if like woken up from a very, very deep sleep. And she's like amazed. So many people gathered around. And so then this episode, this pastime shows that a pure devotee like Ramanujacharya, a small boy, but what is the power of that devotee? So Lord Shiva, what he is telling about pure devotees are qualities like this, that they don't go about projecting that they have such powers, but Lord himself, you know, creates some ways, some pastimes through which their glories are coming out. So then there is another beautiful pastime which we see in the life of Tukaram Maharaj. Now, as you know, that Tukaram Maharaj was not born in a very, very rich family. He was a very poor personality. Poor family, not even sufficient means to eat or to run the family. But he was very much absorbed in the glorification of the Lord. We would have heard the beautiful abhangas which Tukaram Maharaj has written. So nectarian and so sweet that just by reciting them or just meditating on them really makes us feel so blissful from inside. So the way he sang the abhangas, the whole village, the whole Dehu village, the people of the village started humming those abhangas. And whenever they were doing any household chores, they used to recite these abhangas. Like how the gopis used to always chant Govinda Damodar Madhaviti. That sort of chanting was happening of the abhangas. So these brahmanas who were very much puffed up, they were very much envious of Tukaram Maharaj, and they tried all their means to somehow defame him, to somehow make him fall down in such a way that he is outcast or he is sent out of the village. But they tried many things, but they could not do anything. So finally they decided that they will go to Shivaji Maharaj. So they thought that when the king will come, king will test him and then king will punish the person who is doing wrong. So they went there and they misinterpreted about Tukaram Maharaj's lifestyle, that he is a very puffed up person, he misinterprets the Vedas and gives a different meaning and the people are getting bewildered and all that. So Shivaji Maharaj decides that he will come and test Tukaram Maharaj. So then they come in a entourage, and Shivaji Maharaj just hides behind some trees. And the ministers and the soldiers, they get lot of gifts and jewels for the family. So when Tukaram Maharaj's wife and the children, when they see the riches, because throughout their life they have only seen poverty, and for them beautiful clothes and jewelry, it's like so exciting. Small children, they just go and rush and they start wearing all the jewelry and the beautiful dress and all. And the mother is also so excited that after a long time, Devi has blessed me and sent so many gifts for me. So then they ask for Tukaram Maharaj, but they say that he'll be coming in some time. And now Tukaram Maharaj enters in. And when he sees this, everybody is observing the move of Tukaram Maharaj, how he will react to this, so much jewelry. And suddenly he sees that and he just throws it down on the ground. He said, this is poison. And everybody is taken aback, like, poison? He said that this is a means of attachment. This is a poison and this will kill the family. So I don't want. And so seeing him throw all his children, both the children, they throw the jewelry, and the wife also very reluctantly starts throwing. So then Tukaram Maharaj instructs the minister that please collect this and take it back. So they say that this is a gift from Shivaji Maharaj, a great king of the Maratha dynasty. And you are refusing to accept a gift from such a personality. It's really very surprising. He said, now what he speaks, really makes a big impact on Shivaji Maharaj's consciousness, and he really changes. Not that he was a very great king, but he takes shelter of Tukaram Maharaj after this incident. So he says that for me, Tukaram Maharaj and a small ant, both are same. So they say that Tukaram Maharaj has got a palanquin for you to take you with him, to take you to his kingdom for his darshan. So he said that I am such a fallen person, wandering around in the forest. My whole body is covered with dust. What you will do, what benefit you will get by putting this bag of bones filled with dust in front of that prince, and what benefit he will get by my darshan. No? So why waste so much time in traveling so much and wasting time? So they say that King Shivaji is calling you and you are not coming. It's really very surprising. So he says that for me, the king and the ant are both are same. But if he wants to please me, then just tell him this. Ami tene sukhi, mana vitthala vitthala mukhi. Tumche ye ravitra dhana, te maj murti ke saman. Kanti nivda tulsi, vrattakara ekadashi. Manta hariche das, tuka mane majhi as. In these four lines, Tukara Maharaj gave him the entire sar of how a person should live in a life, in his life. Ami tene sukhi. Tukara Maharaj says that I will be happy if you chant mana vitthale vitthale mukhi. If you keep chanting the name, I will be happy. Tumche ye ravitta dhana. Your wealth which you have sent to me is like dust for me. Kanti niyura tulsi. Wear kanti mala on your neck and fast for ekadashi. Manta hariche das. Call yourself the servant of Lord Vitthal. Tuka mane maji iyas. He said that if Shivaji Maharaj wants to meet me, just give him this four lines and he will be pleased. In this whole four sentences or the small abhanga which he created, the whole life of Shivaji Maharaj changed. Hearing this beautiful verses, Shivaji Maharaj comes and falls down at the feet of Tukaram Maharaj. And he surrenders his life. He says that now I give up my kingdom, I give up my everything, and I want to become your disciple and I will serve you. But Tukaram Maharaj was also intelligent. He did not misuse this. Now, if you see in today's world, if some big personality comes and takes shelter, the person who gives the shelter projects himself that I am the guru of this and this person. But Tukaram Maharaj, being a pure devotee of the Lord, he knew that Shivaji Maharaj's main role is to take care of the kingdom, to protect the kingdom. So he does not tell him that, okay, you give up your family, give up your kingdom and come and join as a bandit. No, no. He then preaches him that as a Kshatriya, it is your dharma to take care of the religion, to protect the citizens. So this is how in this small incident, a big personality like Shivaji Maharaj also surrenders to the lotus feet of a pure devotee and takes shelter. Now the third example which we will discuss is Darshane Pavitra Karo Ye Tomara Guna. Now a pure devotee of the Lord, just by seeing Him, just by taking darshan of Him, we get purified. It is said that devotees, when they, common people, when they just go and dump their sins in the holy rivers, like when Mother Ganga was about to come to this planet Earth, she had asked Bhagirathi that when I come down, all these people of this material world, they will come and dump all their sins in my waters and I will become contaminated. So how will I get purified? So he said that when the pure devotees, they come and take bath, when they take bath in your waters, you will get purified. So there are devotees like this also who led a life in such a way that their whole life was full of devotion. And one of such devotees is Krishna Devaraya. Kulashekar Alvar. He is one of the Alvars who was living a life in such a way. He was a king actually. But he led his citizens and he led his personal life in such a way that he was 24 hours whole day just absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So taking a few points from the lecture which His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj had given, a beautiful class in 2010 Kanyakumari Yatra. That time he had given this beautiful story of Kulashekar Alvar. That how he led his life in such a way that it created a big impact in that region. So Kulashekar Alvar, as you know, that he was a king of that region and he was very, very devoted. So much so that 24 hours he used to just hear about the glories of the Lord and serve the pure devotees, serve the Vaishnavas. So one day he thought that I will go to Sri Ranganathji and take the darshan there. So the ministers thought that when the king will go there to Ranganathji, he will, seeing the beauty of Lord Ranganath, he will just give up his duties as a king and he will, no, he will stay there itself. So somehow or the other we have to avoid, we have to, you know, prevent the king from going to Sri Rangam. So they thought that what we should do. So they said that whenever he is about to leave, if some Vaishnava comes in, then he will not go, then he will start serving the Vaishnavas. So then that will prolong his going to Sri Rangam. So then they started arranging in such a way that every day some Vaishnava comes in. So now the king is ready to go, and the moment he is about to go, some Vaishnava walks in. So then the king says, oh, Vaishnava has come. So then he will, no, wash his feet, no, worship him, talk with him, chant and all that. So the whole day goes. Again next day when the king is about to go, again some Vaishnavas come. So then that was the daily routine of, no, and they were making him stay there. So then it was decided that now we will have katha every day. No? The king was very much attached to Lord Ram. So he said, we will have beautiful Ramayana katha every day, and the king arranged a big pandal, and lot of arrangements were made, and the king was hearing Ramayana every day. So all the beautiful pastimes which come in the Ramayana, like Lord Ram marrying Lord Sita. Now for others it was just a katha. It was like a story which is happening and they are hearing, or a class, or a, but Kulashekhar Alvar was actually seeing that happening in front of him, that Lord Ram is getting married to Sita ji and Lakshman and all that. And for him, like, my Lord is getting married, so there should be a big feast. So every day, whenever there is an occasion like this, say for example Lord Ram's birth, so okay, my Lord has appeared, a big feast. So everybody was involved. So he was involving the entire kingdom, everybody was involved and everybody was focused. So now Lord Ram getting married, again a big feast, today is my Lord's wedding. And so one day they were discussing, the Ramayana went on ahead, and it came at a place where they were discussing that Khar and Dushan's pastime, that Mother Sita, Ram and Lakshman are in the forest of Dandakaranya, and Surpanakha is just been, no, her nose is cut and she is calling Khar and Dushan. So if you hear Maharaj's class, you can really feel that presence. You can really see that, no, the whole story running in front of you. So beautifully he has explained. But I am not going in the whole pastime because I just need to take little from here. So this pastime is happening where Surpanakha is just killed, the nose is cut, and Khar and Dushan are just about to, no, come and fight. So Lord Ram says to Lakshman that you take care of Sita ji. If you go to Nasik, there is this place, Sita Gufa. So where they used to keep Mother Sita and fight with the demons. So they put Sita there, and Lakshman is guarding outside outside the cave. And Lord Ram is now standing in front of Khar and Dushan with 14,000 of his armies, the demon armies. And when Kulashekhar Alvar hears this, that my Lord is standing alone in front of Khar and Dushan with 14,000, he becomes very angry. He says, how it is possible? No, my Lord is in need of help and nobody is coming to help. So he tells his army, come on, everybody get ready. We have to march to Dandakaranya today now and help my Lord fight the demons. And the ministers were puzzled, like, but it's a king order that everybody has to go. So the armies were made ready, the full gallantry of soldiers, elephants, everything, they started marching. And King Kulashekhar, he stood on the front with the chariot and started galloping. And he says, come on, fast, everybody, we have to reach there in time. We have to help the Lord fight Khar and Dushan. And now the ministers were bewildered that this had happened in Satyuga and this is Kali Yuga. And no, so they thought that let some soldiers go in front and come back from there and give a good news that Lord Ram has won. So they decided that way. So few soldiers, they went in front of Kulashekhar Alvar, and then they started coming from the opposite direction with a victory flag sort of. So King Kulashekar was very amazed to see the victory flag. So then he stops. And then they say, "Oh Maharaj, by your mercy, by the Lord's blessing, Lord Ram has killed Karan Dushan and he has devastated the entire army of the demons single-handedly. And we are just come from there seeing the news, so we want to tell you this good news." And Kulashekar Alwar jumps in joy in the chariot. He says, "Oh, my Lord is so sweet, so bold, so fierce. Come on back to the kingdom and we'll have a very big feast." So again, everybody returns back to their kingdom and they have a big feast in their kingdom. So this is how the king was living every day. Every day his life was focused around pleasing the Vaishnavas, pleasing the devotees. Everybody was focused. Days went by. And now it had become a rule that we have to only tell good pastimes to Kulashekar Alwar. Because if any negative pastime comes, then they were thinking what will happen. So the person or the priest who was appointed to recite Ramayana every day, so he was selecting all the good pastimes and telling. So one day he had to go out. So he told his son that tomorrow I have to go out for some work. So today you speak the Ramayana to the king. The son was not aware of the protocol, what he has to observe. So then the son comes and he is welcomed and he sits and he starts describing Ramayana. But he describes the pastime of Jatayu and Sita being kidnapped by Ravana. And now Kulashekar Alwar, actually he's seeing the whole pastime happening in front of him. He sees how that deer came and the deer enticed Sita, and then Ram had to go to catch the deer, and Lakshmana was told by Sita that you please go and save and all that, the whole pastime. Then Jatayu's wing were cut, and here Kulashekar Alwar's emotions were getting more and more strong and he was feeling the whole thing. And then how Ravan kidnaps Sita ji, puts her, and then he goes to Lanka. And when he sees that Ravan is taking Sita to Lanka, and then he describes about the mood of Ram and Lakshman, how they were feeling, how Ram is crying that, "Have you seen my wife? Have you seen Sita?" Kulashekar Alwar says that nobody can trouble my lord like this. Nobody can trouble my mother like this. We are going to Lanka to fight. And now the ministers are bewildered. Oh no, again. So he tells the whole army, "Come on, everybody to Lanka." And it was the king's order. So everybody started again, getting on the chariot, going towards Lanka. And now they reach the shores. They reach the shores of Lanka. And the soldiers stopped. But King Kulashekar, he was not seeing that this is the ocean. He was just focused on saving Mother Sita from Ravan, or fighting Ravan, helping Ram. And he just plunged in that ocean along with his chariot. And the ministers were bewildered that last time we could arrange for somebody to come from front and tell that, this is the Ram has won. But here it is difficult for somebody to come from the ocean and tell. So thinking, they were thinking what to do. And now King Kulashekar is just entering the water in the ocean. And his horses start going in the water, then his chariot, and then he himself till the neck level. And now they thought that the king is going to leave. Now there is no way he can be protected now. And the King Kulashekar goes inside the ocean, completely drowned. And the Lord Ram from his heart, from the heart of Kulashekar, comes out and gives him darshan. And as if he is coming from the front, the Lord is walking with Sita ji and Lakshman ji and coming in front of him. And when Kulashekar sees him, he is so happy. He says, "My Lord, you are so great, you have won." Then Lord explains him that I have killed Ravan and his entire dynasty, and Vibhishan is now the king. So I have got, Mother Sita is with me, Lakshman is also with me. So we have now victorious and we are going back to Ayodhya. And just hearing that they are safe and going back to Ayodhya, King Kulashekar is very, very pleased. Inside the water. Now it is difficult for him to come out of the water. So Lord Ram just lifts him and puts him back on the shore. Now nobody can see that. They only thought they could see that. And then King Kulashekar is rejoicing on the banks that my Lord has defeated Ravan and Sita ji has come back and Lakshman is also with him. Come on back to the kingdom and let us enjoy. Let us rejoice that Lord Ram again feast. So then the ministers are relieved of this. But then they think that this is not going to work like this. Every day something other happens and again he will do something. So they thought that the best thing for us to do is that a king should be envious, or he should feel that the Vaishnavas are not good. So do something like this, or defame Vaishnavas in such a way that the king stops associating with them. So then they thought of a plan. So Kulashekar Alvar was worshipping the deities of Lord Ram. So they stole one of the very, very costliest paraphernalia of Lord Ram from that altar and stole it. And the news spread everywhere that this has been stolen. So the minister, they started spreading the word that this is done by the Vaishnavas, because so many people, they keep coming in the kingdom, nobody is aware what is happening. So all these Vaishnavas who come from outside, they are doing this, and so we should stop allowing the Vaishnavas to enter in the kingdom. Now Kulashekar Alvar is really hurt and pained by this. He says that he comes to know now that the ministers are worried that because of his behavior like this. So he said that I should put an end to this now. They should know what the Vaishnavas are. So he says that if you defame a Vaishnava, that is not good. I, Kulashekar Alvar, give you a word that you put this stolen, that jewel in a bag, and put a poisonous snake in that. And I will put my hand in that and remove it. If the Vaishnavas have done something bad or they are wrong, the snake will bite me and I will die. And if they are innocent, my hand will come out as it is. Now he had so much faith on the Vaishnavas, he knew that nothing is going to happen. But the ministers were very, very worried now, because they are not in that pure state, so they don't know what the consciousness of the king was. So then they were thinking that it is because of our mistake that the king might lose his life. But the king was very firm that I will do this. So they got a very, very poisonous snake, kept it in a sack. They kept the jewel in that, and King Kulashekar, he put his hand in that bag and he removed the jewel. And he just removed his hand without the snake even hurting him. So then all of them realized that the king's faith on the Vaishnavas, and by defaming the Vaishnavas, we have done a very big offense. So the king now says that I want to retire now. Because he was very disturbed by this incident, he thought that it's not worth for me to keep on continuing as a king, because they might think of something else which will not be good. But the ministers, they thought that it's really very bad on our part that we defame the Vaishnava, so they fall at his feet and they beg forgiveness, saying that actually it was we who stole the jewel, we who stole the paraphernalia, but since you were so much engrossed in your deities worship and the whole day you were just hearing Rama and all, so we were thinking how the kingdom would run, so it's out of love for you that we thought. But the king said that it is Lord Ram's arrangement that now I go to Srirangam and devote my life, my remaining life in his service. So then he installs his son as a king and he goes to Srirangam, and there is one deity I don't exactly recollect. So he used to worship there, which is still there. So when you come across all these beautiful examples, and Lord Shiva also is glorifying the Vaishnavas. So these are the Vaishnavas which just by looking at them, just by hearing about them, just by speaking about them, discussing about them, so much purification happens. And we cannot forget our Srila Prabhupada, how much he has done, such a pure devotee. His whole life is very amazing. But the beautiful thing, what I really feel is, he was there in Russia only for one day, or maybe 2 days max. And what revolution of Krishna consciousness has taken place in Russia. He preached to one boy there. What is the power of Srila Prabhupada's devotion, and what is the power of his compassion? That whole Russia, almost everybody, if you see Russian devotees now, Russia, Ukraine, so powerful, so much dedicated, so much attached to Srila Prabhupada's movement. Just by his one day stay in that country, the communist country is really changed. And what to speak of other continents, Africa, where God, they don't know even what is God, and they are chanting Krishna's name, that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srimati Radharani, where is Krishna's abode, all that they know. So this is the power of Srila Prabhupada's compassion, his power of love, and his devotees, his disciples, they are carrying on this legacy. So what Lord Shiva is discussing here is the same thing, that Markandeya Rishi also, he is glorifying Markandeya Rishi, that just to take darshan of pure devotees like you is really beneficial for everybody. And we have been given this beautiful opportunity where we get to sit and discuss Krishna Katha, get to associate with devotees. How much grateful we should be for this. This whole ocean, there is a big ocean of all these pure devotees. It's like a big ocean. And what to speak of touching that waters, at least I can say for myself that just sitting at the shore can just expect some droplets of water or some drops to fall on us, fall on me, and get some realization about the vast ocean of this knowledge which they have and the devotion which they had. Even if we get a drop, we can feel ourselves very much grateful. So Lord Shiva is now has glorified Markandeya Rishi, and like a pure devotee, Markandeya Rishi does not like to hear the praises, which like a pure devotee they don't like to hear the praise. But since Lord Shiva is glorifying Markandeya Rishi, he did not want to stop, because the words coming out from a personality like Lord Shiva is so nectarian that he did not even want to miss even a single word, and he took it as a blessings of Lord Shiva. And as we discussed, that his whole life is a blessing of Lord Shiva. His birth was blessing, his long age was a blessing, and now again he is being blessed by Lord Shiva. So in the future verses we will see how Markandeya Rishi responds to the praises which Lord Shiva has given. So we stop here. Thank you very much for your patience hearing. If there is anything wrong in the class, please correct me and forgive me. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Karantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Anand Koti Vaishnavinda ki jai.